I like it when you hold my hand. You are the kind who understands. You are the master of romance, and you are getting in my pants. But if you wanna do it right, you'll have to block out half the night. Now you know just what to do. Lick it till your face turns blue. Our love is ever changing.
Did you learn anything tonight?
He needs to wash it. Wash it.
What are you doing?
I'm being a big señora. I was cleaning up. There's a big mess here.
Oh, how did it become a mess?
I don't know. know who was back here, but it was a mess.
And she's the only one that I know that can say the word pussy like that. And just, it's funny every time. It's not. It's just pussy. It's funny.
Why aren't you holding the light?
Hello,
Miss
Joe.
Why are you holding the light?
No one gets it. You're on
a...
No, you're on a... Can't you protect
them?
What was your favorite part?
Eat me out, you sick... I love you, Margaret.
I might even try eating out a little bit.
Sorry that you couldn't be here, but your voice is very sweet. I'm calling you, and maybe I'll see you next time. I hope I see you next time anyway.
Keep on running.
engeri yoka ke tunayiga mu ebyafaayo tuleme okukoppa empisa z'abeeru tetusuula batuzaala mu nkambi z'abakadde baabaki boobannaffe baabaki boobannaffe baabaki boobannaffe.
Hey, my name is Mike True. I'm living in New Orleans, Louisiana. But when I want to get an earful of what's going on in Santa Cruz and California and all the happening things with the buzz, I listen to the Tangerine Dream Team with Coral Reef at 101.3 Freak Radio. It's all good.
And up next on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.3 FM and freakradio.org, it's that old favorite, Bathrobes, Pierres, Broadsides. I'm Robert Norris. I'll be with you for 2 hours. So listen.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you. Sing me of wars and sing me of bread lines. Tell me of front page news. Sing me of strikes and last minute headlines. Dress your observation in syncopation. Sing me a song with social significance. There's nothing else that will do. It must get hot with what is what, or I won't love you. Want a song that's satirical, putting the mirror into miracle. It must be packed with social fact, or I won't love you. Sing me of kings and conferences martial. Tell me of mills and mines. Sing me of courts that aren't impartial. What's to be done with them? Tell me in rhythm. Sing me a song with social significance. There's nothing else that will do. It must be tense with common sense, or I won't love you.
And welcome to Bathrobes, Pierres, Broadsides, this twice-weekly show that I throw out at you. This is a pre-recorded show, but it was recorded on the same day that it's being broadcast, namely Thursday, the 27th of April. Lots of little things to note about upcoming things that are happening, upcoming events. I usually try to harp on the free events, since that's stuff that poor people and folks who are outside with the group Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, at least that's the group I work with, can afford. Even as you listen to this show, from 6 to 8, if you can hustle down to the Del Mar Theater at 7, there is a free showing of In Dubious Battle. And In Dubious Battle is a movie based on the book by John Steinbeck, or so they write, by James Franco. It was made in 2016. It's described online as a passionate adaptation of John Steinbeck's Depression-era novel about fruit pickers organizing for a strike in California's apple orchards. And there are going to be speakers there. Susan Schinninglaw, director of the National Steinbeck Center. That's the group that displaced homeless people in Salinas. But I guess we can't blame Susan for that. Cesar Lara, executive director of the Monterey Bay Central Labor Council, which, as far as I know, has never come out for homeless civil rights. But perhaps they have. I'm not that conversant about homeless union activities or union attitudes toward homeless people over there in Monterey. And there has been a sort of a heightening of sort of a knee-jerk, generic, we're in favor of things slightly more leftist, what with Trump essentially prompting all these protests, properly so, too many of which, however, I fear are likely to be co-opted by Democratic Party hacks who created the policies that Trump is now simply extending, based on the theory that I like, the way it's, the motto is, if you're worried about, if you vote for the lesser evil, you're paving the way for the greater evil. That's always been my view. And that's the problem with the Democrats. However, In Dubious Battle, you know, check it out if you'd like. Hustle on down there. And you can view this show, or I should say hear this show later. It's archived on the Huff Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom website at huffsantacruz.org. H-U-F-F, Santa Cruz, all one word, all small letters, .org. And that's at the Del Mar Theater, 7 o'clock, downtown Santa Cruz, 1124 Pacific Avenue. On Saturday, according to Indie Bay, the Santa Cruz Indie Media website that I swear by and sometimes swear at, there's the People's Climate March, April 29th. That's on Saturday at 1:30 at San Lorenzo Park. The parts of the park, of course, that aren't walled off by chain-link fences as part of the city's We Don't Want Those Homeless People Around. That happened fairly recently, and I've talked about it a little bit on free radio. There are some videos that are going to be shown, story of climate change and the solutions to climate change. So, I'm sorry, these are films that you can view online, I believe. And again, to find more of this, just check out Santa Cruz Indie Media or look for, well, go to the names of the films, The Story of Climate Change and The Solutions to Climate Change. They're both shorts. Then on April 30th, there is a Real Work May Day Film Labor Festival event, or Labor Day, or Labor Film Festival on the day before May Day, April 30th. It's going to be at the Santa Cruz Live Oak Grange out on 17th Avenue, 1900 17th. A documentary film is Solitary, Inside Red Onion State Prison by Christy Jacobson. And his director, who's offers, they write, a revealing and moving portrait of life inside solitary confinement. Dolores Canales, organizer, is going to speak. She's a member of the National Council for the formerly incarcerated women and girls. She was instrumental in co-founding California Families Against Solitary Confinement, a collective of family members that rose in protest of California's conditions of confinement in security housing units, SHU units. And it's going to be hosted by the group Together to End Consolitary Santa Cruz, co-sponsored by ACLU Northern California, Santa Cruz County Chapter Peace and Freedom Party, the LaGrange, Temple Bethel, Vets for Peace. And there's more details. 85 to 90% of people in California SHUs, security housing units, which are solitary cells. In those solitary cells, 85 to 95% of them are people of color. And there were 3 nonviolent hunger strikes carried out between 2011 and 2013 against solitary confinement and prison abuses for their constitutional and human rights. And after the 2012 agreement to end hostilities across racial, ethnic, and geographic lines, over 30,000 California prisoners and hundreds nationwide joined the 2013 hunger strike. And 100 people were on hunger strike for 60 days. On September 1st, 2015, the prisoner-led class action lawsuit, Ashker versus Governor Brown, was successfully settled. Since 2012, 2,500 prisoners in California were released from SHU to general prison population, and over the past 5 years, the agreement to end hostilities has decreased by half the violence among people incarcerated in California prisons. I'm not quite sure what this agreement stipulates, but you can find it online, and it sounds interesting enough for me to go into it if I weren't rushing to get a lot of the stuff done. Many folks in jail are homeless. Or they were homeless before they went to jail, and now they have a stone pillow, so to speak, for their nighttime sleeping time. Of course, I guess they don't get arrested for sleeping like in Santa Cruz, or cited, or have to be afraid of, I guess they have to be afraid of midnight bed checks on occasion. But some have described Santa Cruz as an open-air prison yard at night for homeless people. You be the judge. So there are a lot of free films by the Real Work Labor Film Festival that have been going on since April 15th, goes on until May 1st. There's a full schedule at realwork.org if you're interested, so check that out. Then also on Sunday, April 30th, from 11 to 1 at the Nickelodeon Theater, there is a film, Do Not Resist, followed by a conversation with Norm Stamper, former Seattle Chief of Police and author of the book Breaking Rank, a top cop's expose of the dark side of American policing, and To Protect and Serve, How to Fix America's Police. I'm not sure if that's possible, but Norm will give you some ideas if you go to the Nickelodeon between 11 and 1 to see the film, and then you get a question and answer with him across the street at Calvary Episcopal Church. And there's a trailer for the film Do Not Resist online. If you go to the IndieBay website, it's described as an urgent and powerful exploration of the rapid militarization of the police in the United States. Of course, what we need is a nice little film about the rapid militarization of our rangers, our police, and our security folks here, and the various little subterfuges used to throw money at new fences, new walls, new forbidden zones, increased cooperation between different prosecution agencies to harass folks who the Downtown Association wants to get rid of but just can't do it as easily as picking them off and jailing them because they're doing things that, like sleeping or sitting, which they do criminalize, but it's kind of hard to stop them from coming and doing it again. Anyway, the film Do Not Resist, from 11 to 1, Nickelodeon, Sunday, April 30th, offers a stunning look, it says, at the current state of policing, glimpse of what it means, puts viewers in a ride-along with a SWAT team. Couldn't you call the SCPD and maybe get a ride-along with them? I have never done that, although it's possible. I've never been invited on one, and it's kind of like a jury duty. I've never been able to serve on a jury because of my pretty clear insistence on jury nullification, which is the right of people on the jury, regardless of what the judge tells you, to vote not guilty. And in many cases, this is the appropriate verdict, particularly for victimless crimes involving drugs, involving homeless behavior, which is innocent, but or maybe not so innocent, you know, which is taking a crap outside is certainly not something that I would like to do. I'd be humiliated and embarrassed to do it. And it's also, you know, not the most sanitary thing. But if the city then goes to great lengths to close bathrooms at night, as they do at City Hall and elsewhere around the city, or leave unsanitary conditions that people either can't get to or don't want to get to or find locked when they get there, in the three porta potties that are open in the downtown area or supposedly open at night sometimes, then you don't want to convict people for these crimes, and you want to know that you can say no, and you can. You don't have to give your reasons either. You just say no. And so also you should not mention that fact when they question you about these issues. My views, unfortunately, are well known, so I don't get to get on juries, and I don't try. Anyway, so there's this film about the police coming up on April 30th, Sunday at the Nickelodeon, and afterward the program that has this discussion with Norm of Seattle, the former police chief. I don't want to prejudge him, but I probably do, and I believe that we're probably talking about Band-Aids rather than community control of the situation, not just of a police force, but maybe of the whole issue. There's also a debate that he's going to be involved in on Saturday, the day before. Norm will be coming to town, and he will be at the Resource Center for Nonviolence, or some would say non-action, on local civil rights issues. Although they are hosting this forum, and they've hosted other things that where people like to talk about these issues, it's going to be a discussion of the Police Review Board issue. And that's, again, sponsored by the ACLU. How do police officers and community members forge an authentic partnership in policing the city? I think the question is, how does the city deal with a justice system, quote-unquote, that refuses to hold its police department accountable and that allows the district attorney and the police department to cohabit to the detriment of those being charged with any kinds of crimes? How do police officers and residents of Santa Cruz build trust and mutual respect? No. How do we strip away from the police department the aura of sanctity that prevents any real examination of what they're doing? Trust will come when the police begin to behave responsibly, and that will not happen until there is really a countervailing power in the community that forces this to happen. That's not on the NDB statement, of course, because this is a proposal for a police review board, which they've tried in Santa Cruz before. It was largely ineffectual, but it did provide an opportunity for publicizing police abuse incidents. I spent a lot of time working with the police review board in Santa Cruz during the 90s, or I should say working against the police review board's attempt to cover up things, ignore things, sideline things, and move on as if everything was just rosy. And Sandy Brown, who's a council member, was on that board, and she will be speaking at this meeting. I haven't talked to her yet about what her position is regarding police review now. I was very unimpressed with how she behaved on the board, although I really should go back to review those years, which are almost 20 years ago now, more carefully before I give her an F. I think they almost all deserved an F, except toward the end, when you had people like Mark Half Moon and others on the board who actually tried to, under some pressure from us activists, to look into harassment by color and by class, look into use of force and things of that sort, look into the procedures for stalling police complaints that were being used, turning complaints into so-called minor inquiries. That was done illegally and against the in violation of state law by former police chief Steve Belcher. Anyway, that's the stuff that comes to mind just sort of off the top of my head around the former Citizens Police Review Board that we had in Santa Cruz from 1995 to 2003 until Cynthia Matthews cut it off at the head. Not personally, but she was one of the gang at City Council that did that. Of course, recent attempts to reform the police, which have largely been fig leaves or half efforts under Obama and, of course, now under Trump, it's the even less, but in fact, it's in the opposite direction, have happened because activists have been wandering around with video, that is to say, cell phones that take video, and then putting those videos online. This is something I've urged people to do, and I've seen people like Pat Colby and Brent Adams and Abby Samuels in recent years do it. And that way you actually begin to start deterring the police from behavior in some cases, and also raise community awareness that all is not so rosy behind the wall of blue. Anyway, this is a forum that's happening on Saturday. If you want to go to it, it's the Resource Center for Nonviolence. It also features Samara Marion, who is staff attorney for the San Francisco Department of Police Accountability, formerly the Office of Citizen Complaints. I've heard lots of criticism of them, too. And when people get staff positions, you can bet your bucks that they are, unfortunately, probably losing their edge. Again, I don't know Samara Marion. I think years ago, this person was an activist to create a Citizen Police Review Board in Santa Cruz, which was something that Huff called for after, before 10 women accused former sergeant and then culture hero Butchie Baker, or Lauren Baker, who was shot dead in a shootout. It wasn't even a shootout. He was shot because he and another officer, a butler, came to the door and a guy shot the two of them. He was accused of molesting 10 women by the women themselves publicly, and it was completely covered up by 3 different so-called investigations. We didn't have that was in 1992, but it prompted, because we were exposing that stuff, nothing on video but lots of testimony, but of course all 10 women were assumed to have lied by the authorities, including then city manager Dick Wilson, who, as the current city manager, Martin Bernaldez, controlled largely the city council's agenda. So, it's the origins of the attempt to get police review come from citizen action and the attempt to hold police accountable, which is really the issue, not review them, but make them accountable. If they commit crimes, then try them for it. Convict them. Make them live in the areas they police. If they want to be a part of the community, then they should be part of the community. There's a whole issue about whether you need a police force at all, whether there's better systems that aren't more to the point. John Malkin will also be on this board. He's both a free radio broadcaster, although he hasn't been doing much lately that I know of. And he's also a former member of the Police Review Board and a former member in Santa Cruz when we had one. And then he was part of the group that helped create the Police Review Board. He also quit the Police Review Board when he saw that the police department's collusion with, or I should say the board's collusion with the police, was so intense that he couldn't proceed any further. That was in 1996. And I've actually interviewed him about that subject in past shows. Anyway, these folks, Sandy Brown, John Malkin, Norm Stamper of Seattle, and Samara Marion of San Francisco, will all be at this forum on Saturday at the Resource Center for Nonviolence. And that's going to be happening 1:30 to 4:30? 1:30 to 4, actually. Saturday, April 29th. Then the next day, Sunday, April 30th, in collaboration with the Fabrica, which I guess, as I've heard of it before, but I'm not quite sure what it is, but it has an office over in right near where Huff meets at the Sub Rosa Cafe and where the bike church is, which is a block from Pacific and Laurel Streets. And in collaboration with the Fabrica, they will be hosting an art build project, helping people screen print T-shirts and print and sew giant banners. And it's going to be Community Textile Arts and Salvage Workshop space, and they're located in the Hub, which is right next to the Sub Rosa. That's going to be from 1 to 4 on Sunday, April 30th. And then on May 1st, there's a campus-wide strike. Shut it down. 5 in the morning, blockade and walkout at UCSC campus. Autonomous actions all across the Santa Cruz campus and all across Santa Cruz. So according to the Indy Bay posting, noon, a rally at the main gate, UCSC campus, High Street at Bay. 1:30 p.m. rally at the downtown post office fence. 2:30 march to the Beach Flats Community Center. 3 to 6 workshops and other activities in the Beach Flats. And then at 6:30 an outdoor party in the Beach Flats. That's May 1st, shut it down in solidarity with migrants, refugees, and workers. No walls, no wars, invisible no more. People around the world celebrate International Workers' Day on May 1st, the posting reads, by choosing not to go to work or school. From the Middle East, California, we are living in a time of unprecedented global social and ecological crisis. Let's join together and raise our voices in solidarity. A more beautiful world is possible. Take the day off and build it with us here and now. Endorsed by Sanctuary Santa Cruz, Your Allied Response Network, Santa Cruz Solidarity Network, Sub Rosa Community Space, Showing Up for Racial Justice, Indivisible Santa Cruz, Beach Flats Community Gardeners, Watsonville Brown Berets, Santa Cruz Climate Action Network, Cosecha Santa Cruz, whoever they are, Project Pollinate, Socialist Alternative Santa Cruz, Democratic Socialists of America Santa Cruz, and I would say Huff, though it's not mentioned here, also endorses what sounds like an interesting and varied day. That's all day, May 1st, Monday.
I know a man who hates unions, even though he's in a union, and the wage he gets from being union gave him what he's got. He lives life quite nicely with a big house and a family, and he seldom has to worry about paying all his bills. Yes, the power he got from his union card and his free time born from union blood gave him a happy life. I know a woman who hates the poor because she's scared herself of being poor. She hates how it's so close to her from where she's at right now. She hangs through life on a thin thread, and the pundits offer her hatred to make her feel like she's elevated above somebody else. But she knows and I know she's right there in the shadows with all the somebody else. America, you can look like this, raised hard by the mist of whiteness, clinging with a tightness to a violent racist past. The deck from which your hand is up, sex entries deep in Commonwealth. The stories that your people tell are those of hope and pain. We got angry men who are raised to pride, emotionally traumatized, whose way of dealing with the world outside is rage or to block it out. And women working most of their lives unappreciated by the men in their lives, who know what it means to feel alive because they know what it means to hurt. Ignorance bred from despair, that's what we got here. America, you can look like this, raised high by the mist of whiteness, clinging with a tightness to a violent racist past. From the deck from which your hands is out of sex entries deep in Cogwell, from the stories that your people tell are those of hope and pain. I was raised by parents who worked hard, and they taught me how to work hard. But a lot of people work hard and don't get what they deserve. And so it was early on that I learned which side I'm on. The one that fights for human rights in a world of dollar signs. But you can call that radical, but I just call it practical, you know. Like this, raised high by the mist of whiteness, clinging with a tightness to a violent racist past, but that ain't gonna last.
That was Ryan Harvey, Centuries Deep. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.3 FM, freakradio.org in Santa Cruz. I'm Robert. If you want to reach me to comment on this show, or because you're interested in becoming a part of Free Radio, or if you have a tip for us on where to find a studio space. A 10x10 area, either inside or outside, we can build a shed with access to electricity, internet, and somewhere a bathroom. You can get a $500 reward if we can have such a space for a year, and I think we will give you less if you can get it to us for less than a year, but we're looking for it. It's important to find a studio for free radio because that means we'll actually have a call-in capacity. Our broadcasters will not lose interest and go and do other things. And you'll continue to get some new shows on a regular basis that have some community impact and import and content. 423-4833 is the number to call and leave a message at. You can do it now. Because it's probably going to reach a machine, but it might reach a real person. It's not a live way of getting on top of the or into the show, but you, if you want to actually be on the air, I will talk with you and we'll see if there's a way to do that. And if you want to get a show of your own, that's another possibility. 423-4833. And I'll remind you that tomorrow, if you're interested, Sandy Brown, a council member, if she's keeping up with what she said she was going to do, has office hours from 1 to 3. And that's to get in touch with her, give her a call at 420-5020, or call her cell phone at 246-0399, 246-0399. Sandy has sent me nothing on the email commitment she made, claims that she would contact other staff members almost a month ago now, but she may do so. Who knows? Say that unlike Chris Krohn, who made no commitments at all, she made some pretty strong and clear commitments to call, and therefore I'm giving her more flack perhaps than I should. Although if somebody says they're going to do something, and particularly if they're in a position of political power, I... We'll try to hold them to it, particularly if these are public issues and they publicly agree to do that. She did, because she made these commitments. I play those commitments on the air, and so far, she hasn't done them. And for those who didn't know what that was all about, it has to do with things like police department revealing the audios and videos in the Arlt shooting of last October, which they have refused to do. Actually, they've showed the video, but they haven't shown the witness statements, and they haven't shown the DA's investigation in that case. And those can really tell more of a story than the one video they've shown, which is just blurred and at night. And assuming it's the only video, which we have to take their word for, apparently, it doesn't tell us much, but the witness accounts by the officers and by other people interviewed would, and we haven't gotten those. Most important to me, Sandy Brown, who has agreed to request those of Chief Vogel and City Manager Martine Brunel, has not done so. I told her I don't expect her to actually get any action from these folks, but to actually have made that request puts the pressure on and allows other people to carry on where she has begun. But she has not yet begun. She also agreed to send an email to Chief Vogel asking about the placement cost and retention schedules of all surveillance devices in public spaces that are not involving a specific ongoing criminal investigation. So we're talking about the cameras that regularly view people in public places, which we have a right to know where they are. All I've done is ask her to make a written request to Vogel that be given to her. She has not done that, even though she very, very explicitly promised to do so. She also agreed to do a follow-up to Deputy Chief Martinez, who in a letter of last year sent a letter to businesses which told them that they have to follow the commercial sign law, which is now being used against poor homeless people, vendors, political activists on Pacific Avenue. You can't only be there for an hour. You have to put your display devices inside the table area. I should say the performance pen area, the disced, previously blue boxes, now kind of gold, brass box disc-boxed areas on Pacific Avenue, which are few and far between, and I've never seen a sign in any such area that have been laid out along Pacific Avenue. Even though the deputy police chief last June threatened to arrest people, including businesses, or at least cite them, for violating this ordinance. I've just asked Sandy Brown to direct an email to Deputy Chief Martinez asking what citations have been given out for violation of this ordinance, and specifically if any businesses have been held to account. We know certain individuals who have been selling or displaying their handicrafts or their artwork have been harassed and hassled, ticketed, and fined. Two of them, Joff Jones and Alex Skelton, have incurred fines of $1,300 for this. And others are still being taken to court. So it's an important issue for poor people. It's an important issue for the community. And it's an important issue for the credibility of city council members who make these commitments. She's also agreed to request Chief Vogel to determine the estimated enforcement time and cost of citations for the camping ordinance 6.36 and for these forbidden park areas, where park becomes a convenient way of saying stay out of this area. We heard that discussed a little bit at City Council on Tuesday, if you were listening, as they expanded the power of the Parks Department through permanent rangers being hired. And in the downtown area, that's what rangers are primarily for, seem to be for harassment purposes, having nothing to do with really patrolling parks in order to beautify the area, unless you want to consider removing of some people beautification, which I guess they do. She has not yet sent that email to Vogel, or if she has, she hasn't told me about it. She also committed herself to sending me copies of all these emails, and of course they would be public records, so why shouldn't she? She also agreed to ask Vogel for all correspondence regarding the Department of Homeland Security and the Immigration Control and Enforcement Division, DHS and ICE, in the ongoing, in the months of January and February, where we found not only Santa Cruz police cooperating with ICE raids that didn't just involve gang members, but also involve immigration checks. And the DHS said, the police agreed to it beforehand. And Vogel said, no, we knew nothing. That's Chief Vogel. Someone's not telling the truth, or maybe they are both are, and we just have a strange way of not knowing what alternate facts are here. So I wanted to see the correspondence. I wanted her, Sandy Brown, to write Chief Vogel asking for the correspondence. She has so far not done that, even though she committed herself to do that several weeks ago. I also asked, there was, however, one thing that came out on that issue. According to the Sentinel, the ICE desk, the desk at the Santa Cruz Police Department, which has been since 2009, we suddenly learned at a council meeting in February, occupied by a member of the enforcement team of ICE, or I should say of the ICE organization, that person has left, or the desk is now vacant. Apparently it's taken them 2 months to get this person to vacate. One got the impression listening to Vogel at City Council when his deception in this matter, because he hasn't revealed that that's been the case, that he's had a member of the ICE team sitting in the police department since 2009. He said it was going to be at the end of the week, I think. Oh, well, I can't vouch for that. For some reason, that phrase stuck in my mind. But the question is whether our council member, in this case Sandy Brown, who's agreed to simply send an email requesting to see the correspondence so we can judge for ourselves who's telling the truth in these matters, has done so, and she hasn't. She's also agreed to request Bren Lair, the city administrator and clerk, give her certain specifics regarding public access to and city funding of the Bookshop Santa Cruz visitor's bathroom. This is something I requested because the Coonerty family, which owns the Bookshop Santa Cruz, it has a sign out front of its of its a business which says visitor's bathroom put up there by the city because they get money from the city to have a bathroom open. But yet they exclude some people, myself for one, but others as well, who they have political objections to. And I don't think they should be able to do this on city money. And I'm requesting that she simply ask information about this in an email. Of course, that would put pressure on the Coonerty family not to exclude people, or perhaps not to take city money and exclude all they want. She hasn't done that. She agreed, and she gave the impression she'd be doing all these things within days, to contact City Attorney Condotti to ask that all claims coming to the closed session of City Council be posted on the City Council agendas unredacted and complete. What that means is that if somebody has a complaint about a police department action that they feel they were beaten up or they were injured or they were falsely arrested, that claim will then go to the City Council saying, I want a certain amount of money to pay for this. That has to go to the closed session of City Council for consideration. Such claims are almost always denied, unless you have video and an attorney, perhaps. But the public has the right to know, it's also a public record, what that claim is. Well, though these claims have not been printed on the agenda, just a brief staff description of the claim. I've requested the claims be made available and printed. I have to say Bren Lehr has made those claims available when I have specifically taken the time and trouble before a council meeting to ask that the claims be made available to me personally. But that isn't good enough for me. I want them to be available to the community if anybody wants to go online and read what the claims are so they can know if they may want to go to testify at City Council. I realize that for those of you who are listening, you've heard a lot of this before, but it's still outstanding, unfortunately. It is still the case, and it is still an example of something that a council member who's promised and agreed to do this and did so publicly on audio hasn't done. Finally, she agreed to contact the head of Parks and Rec Department, Mauro Garcia, asking for a breakdown of who, when, and where the Santa Cruz unique stay-away orders have been issued from the 1st of January of last year to the present, and how many follow-up enforcement charges for violating those orders have happened. Santa Cruz is the only city that I know of that gives the police the power to issue stay-away orders before a charge even reaches court. Usually a stay-away order is an action by a judge after somebody has committed and been convicted of, tried for, or pled to a crime in a particular area which impacts that crime or which impacts the victims of that crime. Not so in Santa Cruz, thanks to the Santa Cruz City Council. They passed a law which allows Parks and Rec Rangers and police to issue stay-away orders throughout the expansive area controlled by the parks or dictated as parkish area by the city manager, who can do so on a whim. Doesn't have to go to the Parks and Rec Commission, doesn't have to go to the City Council. He can do it whenever he wants. That's something most people don't know, but if you read Municipal Code 13.04.011, that's what you'll find. Actually, it's 13.04. I think it's the second section of that code. In any case, I made these requests of Sandy Brown. You'll be able to talk to her. She'll be at the on the board of this forum that's trying to establishing a Citizens Police Review Board at the Resource Center for Nonviolence. This forum will be happening Saturday from 1:30 to 4:30. So check that out. If any of these issues seem to you to be of interest, ask her why she's not taken action on these issues. I'm sure she'll have the reason she's given me is she's very busy. And I've said, well, I'd be happy to prepare the email, since you've agreed you'll do it, and all you have to do is forward it under your name, asking about these issues. And so far, nothing. Silence. Although, give Sandy credit, she does have an open cell phone number for people to call. Usually goes to a machine. But I believe she's gotten back to me on past occasions. Perhaps after this broadcast, she won't. I don't know. But she also has at City Council stood up to restore the right of people to talk on an issue at City Council on the so-called consent agenda, which takes up the majority of items on the City Council agenda and usually involves pretty big expenditures. But it's items that are all voted on as a package unless a member of the council pulls that item to be voted on individually. And in order to stop members of the public who have the power to do that at the Board of Supervisors and other city councils in the state, many others, and used to have it at the Santa Cruz City Council, it was removed because some of us would pull items and talk about them in ways that embarrassed or distressed or annoyed members of the City Council. And Council members Kennedy, Rotkin, and then Coonerty, that's Ryan Coonerty when he was on the City Council, he's now a supervisor, decided that they didn't want to give the public this power because they wanted to stop some of this. So if anyone's interested in talking with Sandy Brown about these issues or your own issues, and again, she has to be given credit for having the only member on the City Council that I'm really aware of announces open office hours, though I did get an email today from Mayor Cynthia Chase, who claims to have Monday office hours. And it's not that I'm saying these politicians are dirty, lying dogs, as unfortunately often many politicians are. She does say she has office hours on Monday mornings, and Cynthia Chase says, that's the mayor, but they get booked in advance. She encourages people to reach out to schedule at times at other times. She has a regular job. This is Mayor Chase. She's offered to get together with me at another time, and she's also offered to do a free radio broadcast, as Sandy Brown did, and for that I thank Sandy, even though it is, you know, set her in store for a lot of trouble because she's not fulfilling what she said she was going to do. And she is done other things. I mentioned the consent agenda. I also want to point out she is... I only got a second-hand report from the Santa Cruz City Council meeting on Tuesday, the part of it that I'm thinking of. I was there for some of it. But there was a lot of hubbub and to do and about the disinvestment from both, Granite Construction Company for its potential involvement with the Trump Wall, or should I say Trump's continuation of the Obama Wall and fence and immigration policies, and as well the Wells Fargo's, not its foreclosure fraud, not its profiteering off of false bank accounts, which has been notorious for, not its essentially having a vacant building at 75 River Street for a decade while homeless people are running around freezing in the cold, and then essentially... I don't want to say they masterminded the prosecution of activists who visited the occupation of 75 River Street at the end of the Occupy Santa Cruz movement and were then pilloried for it. I was one of those, too, so I guess I have a personal stake in it, but it's also, I think, a political issue. No, Wells Fargo was taken to task for the fashionable cause of being a part of the Dakota Pipeline investment, and I agree they should be kicked down the road for that, no question, but all the more strongly they should be kicked down the road for all kinds of other things that the City Council has not had any interest in until a large political movement developed nationally around this, which I suppose may be the way of things. And I've just heard that activist David Silva and possibly Linda LeMaster will be visiting with Sandy Brown tomorrow during her 1 to 3 period. And since those are her office hours, I think anyone can probably go, although she might ask you to wait or see if the other people involved would mind their being a part of a group. Crone, though he doesn't have office hours in the same sense, by the way, Christopher Crone, another council member, does have a meeting, or has had a meeting, every 9 to 10 o'clock at the Cafe Pergolesi on Tuesdays, immediately before the city council meetings on those Tuesdays. So I'll be finding out if he still does that, I think, just to keep matters clear. I want to say real clearly, Sandy Brown is a very nice person. And so is Crone. And for that matter, so is Cynthia Chase. And the kind of harsh criticism I level against them has to do with their political positions and their political actions or inaction. It has nothing to do with their family life or their sociability as human beings, their other aspects. And that's really important to understand that. But it shouldn't prevent us from pillaring them, pinning them to the mat when they make promises and then blithely ignore them. Or when they are ignoring conditions that they have the power to change but take no action to change. And you're going to get all kinds of hundreds of excuses. Well, probably not hundreds, probably the same old excuses about, I'll be wasting my political capital because I can't win on that issue. I don't have a council majority. You'll notice that everything I've asked Sandy Brown to do doesn't require any kind of council vote at all. I was very careful to do that because that avoids the real dilemma a council member has, saying, well, should I do it now or should I wait until I get some more support? Because you don't have to go to the city council for any of these things I've requested. All you have to do is go to the real power. Maybe that's even more frightening for council members, the staff. And that, of course, perhaps, is something that I don't take into account enough. But I believe you have to talk truth to power. And you can't talk truth unless you have information. And you can't get the information unless you make the requests. And it's important that making the requests be done from as central and powerful a position as possible, for sure. And if, you can't get to that position, you do it from whatever position you're at, and you hope that in the future others will understand the importance of what you're doing and pick up on that. Let's take a musical break.
Come gather round, people, and fall to your knees and bow to the red, white, and blue M16s. If you like the riot cops, you'll love the Marines. So be it all of your demonstrations to beat up your bodies and tear down your dreams, for the times, they are not a change.
That's another one by Ryan Harvey. The Times, They Are Not a Changin'. I played that one before, but I wanted to play it again, so I did. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.3 FM, freakradio.org. Leave a message at 423-4833 if you want to comment on the show or get more information about anything you've heard, or if you have a report about what's going on outside police abuse, if you want to support the survival sleepers at City Hall, give me a call, 423-4833. Those are the folks sleeping every night. Well, they have not really got any place else to go. I guess they got the whole city to go, but it's illegal everywhere. And there's a sort of a community there that's developed, and a place where people can watch each other's stuff, and others who know that they are there can watch them, although that hasn't really materialized a lot yet, although I'm hoping that it will. Check out some street interviews. This happened up in Felton on April 23rd. The bus stop, talking with
Kenny Timms
and with
David William Anthony Fullerton.
And guys, you may have some updates on what's happening around Felton.
Oh, no, more in Santa Cruz.
What's happening there then?
It just seems ever since Trump's been in power that people are taking a meaner attitude to the poor people. Like that article in the paper when it says you're enabling people by giving them a cup of coffee when they're cold.
You don't want to feed them, I mean, after all. It only encourages them.
Exactly. And I just think people are being enabled by mean-spiritedness. And they forget that Santa Cruz is a safe haven for people on the road, and it's not Carmel, and it's not Silicon Valley. And keep Santa Cruz free and open-minded.
I like it. Is it going to happen?
Probably not. I don't think we're going to change the evolution of time, but scare tactics are just going to blow up in our face. And the more authority you use, the less control you're going to have.
Anything happened to you in the last week that you want to pass on?
No, I've been staying out of trouble and minding my P's and Q's.
Keeping a low profile?
Yes, sir.
Now, what about you, sir? Do you have any comments on this man's thoughts?
What man?
This man over here.
I don't like pennies. As Sally Field said, I do not like pennies. No, actually, I do have something to say. You know, Santa Cruz actually has become a mecca for things that I built that town up in 1989, okay? I like Felton. I know people in Felton. I've always loved Santa Cruz. The one thing that pisses me the fuck off about Santa Cruz is the drugs. It's a meth. I don't like people going to the bus station and asking me, do you have any, what do they call that, time? It's like, well, what is that time? Yeah, I know what time it is. Time is meth.
Really?
Yeah, that's exactly what these kids are doing now, which kind of pisses me off a little bit. And that's the only thing I got about Santa Cruz. Other than that,
no hassles with cops?
No. No, not at all. No, Santa Cruz police have been very cool with me.
But I know,
you know, 35, that going to Santa Cruz? I think it's going to Santa Cruz.
You guys want to go? I mean,
yeah, I'm going to Santa Cruz.
And we've been talking with?
With David Fullerton.
And with?
Kenny Timms.
Thanks, guys.
You still have a project?
Oh, yes. I think when they start taking the benches off Pacific Avenue and the Vets Hall, it's just taking public spaces away from the public. And they illegally took the benches in front of the Vets Hall. They didn't have permission by any of the vets organizations. And we'd like to get the Vets Hall back for veterans.
Getting any mileage from it? You take care, man. Any mileage from the Vets Hall vets? Anybody like a petition saying bring them back?
Well, we passed an order in the disabled vets meeting, but it's a long process because they think it attracts the undesirable people. And so it's a fight to get public spaces put back for the public, and you should penalize the people abusing them, not the people utilizing them to go to the VA hospital.
How long ago did the resolution pass?
2 months ago in our meeting.
Interesting. I wish you luck with that. I saw those benches taken out 5 years ago. I didn't like it.
No, and it's been a pet peeve of me because I was homeless and saw them do it at 4 in the morning. I thought they were sleazier than I was.
They were.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we've been talking to
Kenny Timms.
Thanks, Kenny.
And here's an interview the next day, or chat next day, with somebody at City Hall on a Monday before the Tuesday 94, sleepout number 94 by the Freedom Sleepers.
We're talking to a smoke criminal here at City Hall. It's about 5 to 6. What was your crime, sir?
I was smoking on Pacific Avenue.
About what time did you engage in this behavior?
I think it was 12 or 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Let me get my paperwork out.
And who finally pulled you up to your senses and slapped you around?
Two cops.
They
both knew who I was. And I already knew I had been doing something wrong when they walked up on me. They're like, we got you red-handed.
Were you blowing smoke in some poor old lady's face?
Actually, I had just finished putting my cigarette out when they caught me. But I still have to show up for court. But technically, because it's an infraction, I don't have to show up for court, and it won't become a felony. So I can ignore it all I want, and
I will go to collection. You will be fined if you don't show up for court. You know that, mister, don't you?
Oh, yes. But
and because you don't have a cigarette, you do get a mint, just because you're such a bad boy.
Okay.
For those listening who don't know, you don't show up to court for infractions in most jurisdictions, although I don't know about California generally. It was the case in Santa Cruz. You would get a warrant for failure to appear, which is a more serious crime. It's punishable by, I think it's up to a year in jail. But in Santa Cruz, they haven't done that for about a decade now. They don't give warrants anymore because so many people, police were giving sleeping ban tickets and other such infractions, sitting next to a building tickets so freely that it became not very cost effective to drag people in, jail them, release them to court, and then have them not able to pay any fines anyway. And, of course, that's still the case. So what happens is if you don't show up in court, they've created a new law, which is a me of dubious constitutional merit or worth, that says if you don't show up to court, they don't issue a warrant. They simply find you guilty and send the ticket south or wherever they send it for collection and add a $200 or $300 fine to it. So there is a consequence to not paying attention to the infraction tickets you get. And sleeping ban, sitting ban, jaywalking, all these are infractions. The council also passed two additional laws about 7 or 8 years ago with liberal members of the city council voting in favor. They said if you get 3 infractions and you don't show up to court, then they can charge you with a misdemeanor. The city attorney can do it. Apparently the city attorney became annoyed, or the city council became annoyed that the courts were not, and the police were not being given warrants for people who weren't showing up for these abusive and infraction tickets that are really status crimes against homeless people. Fortunately, when that didn't seem to work, or maybe around the same time, they passed another law, the city council did, that said if you don't attend your 3 infractions, then the next crime will be, every single infraction thereafter for the next 6 months will be considered a misdemeanor. In a way, a lot of these are bluffs. Misdemeanors are punishable, as I said before, by up to a year in jail or a $1,000 fine. Because even if a misdemeanor is charged, the city attorney can always reduce the misdemeanor to an infraction. Something, by the way, that the district attorney cannot do at the state level, except for some very limited kinds of crimes, and only then, strangely enough, with the agreement either of the judge or in the absence of the, they have to have the agreement of the defendant, or the defendant at least can't object to it. Because, you see, if you have an infraction crime, you don't get tried by a jury and you don't get the public defender. But on the other hand, in theory, you don't get held in jail. Although taken to jail for a repeated infraction crime in Santa Cruz, and people have been, particularly in protests, And you then will find yourself released hours later, perhaps in the cold, without your blanket, and so forth. If they want to sort of harass you with a misdemeanor crime, charge a bail for you, keep you in jail until the trial, and then suddenly decide they're going to reduce it to an infraction so you don't get the rights that you would get a jury trial and a public defender, they can do that. Usually people will plead out long before then. Most charges, I think it's 80 or 90%, maybe even a higher number, of crimes are pled out because people can't afford to be in jail, or they can't afford to get out of jail, and they also can't afford to be in jail because they're losing their jobs. But they can't afford to be in jail because they can't afford the bail, so they'll just plead. They'll say, oh, I got guilty, I'll take your deal, whatever you're offering me. And that is how the Santa Cruz system of justice works.
The last minute.
I can live with it.
And you've been spending your night times here at Shitty Hall.
Oh, yes.
And what's been happening here? A large turnout, small turnout?
It's a medium-sized turnout. Excuse me.
Sure.
For my mint spitback.
Well, your breath is now very minty, so it's good. But you say that it's been fairly medium turnout. How many nights have you spent here in the last week, would you say?
Probably about 5 or 6.
And any difference in the nights? Has your property remained relatively secure? Was it disappearing? What's the story?
Well, I trust a lot of the people that are here watching my stuff. And I trust a lot of the other people that I don't trust so much watching my stuff because they're more trustworthy than the people that I don't trust at all.
It's a matter of trust. That's the city manager, the most powerful man in the city, in case you want to bow down and kiss his shoes. He's passing by.
Oh, okay. I've already met the
mayor, perhaps?
Yeah, well, he was the vice mayor of blah-bitty blah.
Blah-bitty blah, yes.
Yeah,
I've heard about that.
You know, the Santa Cruz area and the whole county. And he was the vice...
Well, vice is the right word, I think, here.
Yeah, the vice mayor.
Will you be staying here tonight?
Probably. I'm leading off, I know.
Well, I'm going to let you go on this one occasion. We've been talking with you, if you wish to say.
Oh, this is Travis Wheeler, by the way.
Well, thank you, Travis, and good luck.
Okay, have a nice day.
And may the mint be with you.
Oh, yes. I don't have anything to say after that.
And fair enough. What could you say? I mean, hey.
I have one thing. Yes. Keep coming back. Keep coming back because it works if you work it.
I'm hoping that's true. I hear we get songs, of course, as well. From here's a man breaking into song every so often.
Oh, yeah.
Perhaps too much, so you never can tell.
It's almost like Alice in Wonderland.
A wonderland indeed.
Yeah.
Thank you, Travis.
Alice in Wonderland, or I can't remember.
Nah. And I can't tell if Travis was, with his keep coming back, meant keep coming back to City Hall, to the people who are there, that they're going to have an impact, or he meant that to me, because I keep coming back to get reports and playing it on free radio, playing those reports. Through the looking glass, I don't know.
Oh, that's what it was. You know, with the card thing.
So what about you, sir? You say 3 nights ago there was police activity.
Yes, sir, there was.
What happened?
It was more like 4 nights ago, and it rained a little bit, and moved over here to get out of the rain.
To the opposite corridor to the city council staff.
Yes, sir. And I got wet because I was totally asleep, and then I got moved back into the rain.
I see. And how many cops effectuated this relocation?
3 or 4.
And how many people were sleeping, would you say?
I'm not exactly sure. At least 7 or 8.
And where you moved to the sidewalk, or where did you go?
I asked a gentleman, and he said, quietly, go over to the church.
Ah, the Greek Orthodox Church.
Yes.
Which is one of the 4 buildings that are on these 4 corners. It's the only privately owned building. The other 3 are public buildings, the library, the city hall, and the civic auditorium. Do you want to say who you are, or do you want to remain anonymous?
Jeffrey Dean Morris.
Fair enough. Anything else happening today that you want to comment on?
Not today, no.
Or in the last few days that you think is important?
Well, I've got 2 citations for sleeping.
Where did you get those citations?
Right there in the rain.
Now, was it for sleeping or was it for being in a closed area after 10 o'clock?
I think it was for sleeping.
Wow, do you have those with you?
I threw them away.
Oh, for heavens. And you littered as well? Or did you dispose of them properly?
I disposed of them properly.
And the question that I asked him, is it a sleeping ban ticket or under Municipal Code 6.36 or being in a closed area where they've made the entire city hall a courtyard area, a closed area to stop protesters from being there, or sleepers from being under the eaves of the city council buildings, is relevant because sleeping ban tickets can be and will be or are supposed to be legally dismissed if you're on the waiting list for the River Street shelter, which all you listeners, you should tell your homeless associates you can get on by calling 459-6644 and give them your name, tell them you want to get on the waiting list, then call back every 3 days. And then if you get a ticket while you're on the waiting list, in theory, the city attorney's office should be dismissing that short of court. I have still not been able to determine whether they are doing this on a consistent basis. I haven't heard that they haven't been, but on the other hand, also I haven't heard how many people who don't know about the waiting list, and that's most homeless people outside, I imagine, are getting sent to court with sleeping tickets, or their tickets are being sent there, and then they're being sent to collection, and then if there are a number of them, they're facing different kinds of penalties. For example, getting a driver's license, I believe, your credit can be destroyed because of that. It's not entirely clear to me what the current implications are of not attending to the infraction citations, but it's abusive, and it's a pain.
A burning ritual of some kind.
I put it in the garbage can.
Yes, well, that's probably the suitable place. And again, we've been talking with...
Excuse me?
Hey, your name again is?
Jeffrey Dean Morris.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Any comments from you, ma'am?
Oh, I got a citation for drinking. And the ranger said, well, I know it's you that's drinking, you know, because I was picking flowers. And I said, no, it wasn't me. You know?
What's the citation for?
It was for vodka.
Did you drink that vodka? What's the truth now?
Yeah.
She did, folks. She drank the vodka.
I had a heart attack.
Are you old enough to drink vodka?
Yeah.
Oh, for heaven's sake. This is an example. Do you have any ID to prove it, madam? I do see you have flowers.
It was that one.
Will you be sleeping here tonight?
Probably over next door if it rains.
It is look a little overcast, doesn't it? And we've been talking...
I'd rather spend it with my friends, but, you know...
And what's your name again?
Linda Lee Hoffman.
Thank you, Linda Lee.
Uh-huh. It's like I've been raped before, and, you know, it's... You know, pretty concerning as far as being...
So you sleep with your friends?
Well, I try to, but sometimes I don't.
And with that, I will put this on the air and leave you, Linda Lee.
Okay.
Cheers.
Well, you have a good...
If you want to say.
Jeremy.
And Jeremy, you seem to be working on something mechanical here, and you are surrounded by quite a bunch of property. What's been happening?
Nothing's happened. Just sitting here waiting for something
to happen.
Yeah, no, there's something to happen. There's only a freaking bone here.
Are you going to be sleeping here tonight?
I don't know.
And have you been sleeping here on other nights?
Sometimes.
What do you think? How is it treating you?
Like bricks? That's how it treats us, like bricks.
Because you sleep on the bricks?
Yes.
Any tickets?
But not on this side of the bricks, on that side of the bricks.
That's on the sidewalk, and that's where it's, if not legal, they kind of leave you alone, sort of?
Yeah, no, they don't.
They don't leave you alone.
Yeah. They wake you up for morning wood at like 3 to 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, it's, you know, up early to bed and early to rise, you know.
Well, what if I just barely
went to sleep, and now that I just woke up from sleep. I hate it. My grandpa used to make me do that. I wake up, oh no, you're going to go to work right now. You're not going to go to sleep.
But they don't give you any kind of a job to do here. And we've been talking with
Jeremy.
You're Jeremy, I'm Robert.
Hey, thanks, Jeremy.
Folks I just talked to are actually on the bricks, or thereabouts, as we say, close to the sidewalk of City Hall. And there are about four or five people who are actually further back next to the City Council chambers, who I didn't talk to because I'm en route to the Red Church, where there's food aplenty for those who stand in line. And I was trying to get a kind of an estimate of how many people were there at the church, at the City Hall during the day. And it looked like there were, I guess, about 12. I spoke to, as you heard, four or five of them there. It's legal to be at City Hall during the day, though there have been rumors that they're trying to change that. That is to say, that if some of the authorities are trying to change that. But it becomes illegal at 10 o'clock at night until 6 a.m. in the morning to be even 3 feet off the sidewalk into the bricked area in front of City Hall. And I've talked at length about how outrageous this is at the center of government, that you're not allowed to hold up a picket sign sitting down on the wall next to City Hall if it's inside the designated forbidden zone. And now it's clearly and abusively and unconstitutionally an attempt to stop peaceful protest, as well as to stop survival camping or survival sleeping.
Rockefellers and Rockefellers are blacking out their pats while the power-hungry president is snacking on their fat. They're running two separate campaigns. You'll either vote for one or two, playing good cop, bad cop, like the masters always do. Are drunk again and planning out their stay, throwing bombs around the planet, taking people's lives away. They say they've got a long-term plan to make lovely, stable nations, but it comes through World Bank debt, loan scams, and bloody occupations. We're voting for whatever Bush desired when the buildings fell and shattered in a thousand bloody fires. There was talk of war and profit and the thrill of greater might, so they threw in votes like rifles, stepped in foot into the fight. Now they're making scams to win the votes of populations, trying to deny their role in overthrowing sovereign nations. Would have voted no if I had known what I know now. Yeah, tricking folks is easy, and you know that they know how. So why the bother voting when your vote just goes to them? The invisible hand of the empire and the voting booth again. Why this trust in government when all they do is lie to you? Will you say that you're for justice, right? It's justice they deny to you. Like you mean it, sacrifice some time and space. Raise your arms up like arms, my friends, this is the time and place. Well, the future is the product of the actions of today. Well, it's you and I together, comrade, that's the only way. Throw room for poverty are products of the state. And if there was a shit to change, we gotta build it with each other. For we hold the truest justice in our love for one another.
Brian Harvey, if we push them hard enough, they'll fall. I can get the stuff on YouTube if you want to hear it. This is 101.3 FM, freakradio.org you're listening to. There's no call into this show live. It's pre-recorded, but you can reach me, the guy who recorded it, at 423-4833, 423-4833. My visit to the Red Church last Monday, the 24th.
About a man who, you know, slept three nights at City Hall without an incident and then suddenly got kicked in the feet by a female police officer. Is that accurate?
Don't even say female, because then it like implies against women. And I'm not against women.
Well, she was a female police officer.
Yeah, she was Denver, Washington.
I mean, a police officer happened to be a female.
I've been waiting 20 years, and you know, if she got naked and said, hey, you can have me, I'd say, forget about it. I'm busy.
Well, after they kicked you in the feet, for heaven's sake. No, thank you. You know, yeah. Try the next guy, you know.
Yeah.
Do you want to say who you are? Should we keep it anonymous?
Yeah, we'll just keep it anonymous. Because so now I got another ticket.
For what?
For sleeping.
At City Hall?
Yeah.
Was it sleeping or was it being inside the closed area?
I was just underneath that thing against the wall, just sleeping. Sleeping. And I don't litter anything ever. And that's not some epiphany. That is something my mother... Making fun of my mother? Yeah. That is something... My mother hated litter, and even the military. You know, you don't, I don't litter a cigarette butt ever. Anything, ever. And you're going to say, well, you must be... Even when I was drunk and on drugs, I don't litter anything. I just don't.
Thank you. All right.
You know, my family, and I can't find them.
For how long?
Yeah, for... Quite a while, about 9-10 years.
That's a while.
Yeah.
Are you outside yourself?
Yeah, I am.
And are you ever? Do you go to City Hall for the sleepouts or?
No. So too much, you know.
And we've been.
My only son lives, you know, where I'm at right now, and he's in a peril himself, you know, basically. So.
And we've been talking with, if you want to say.
I'm Larry.
Thank you, Larry. Should be on free radio.
Moment. Perhaps after 8, I'll have time to think about it.
No problem. Enjoy.
Well, there's, I guess, one death over there at the survival sleepers. A gentleman who has had some health problems, but he refused to take any ride to the hospital. But eventually he walked from this city hall over to across the street to the lawn in front of the Civic Auditorium and appeared to be asleep, but he was face down and apparently he was dead. They tried to revive him. They worked on him for about an hour.
Do you know his name?
I don't.
Do you know when it happened?
It happened within the last week.
Yeah. And how are the survival sleepers doing at City Hall aside from one death?
Well, there's no bathrooms open, and there's only one trash can for numerous people that are camping there. And people are forced to camp by the parking meters and right next to the street. And so there's, you know, there's no, nothing, no, you know, no bathrooms, no electrical outlets, no, and the weather's coming, it may rain tonight, so, and the situation is pretty nasty. They think that they would open up 24-hour bathrooms, and I noticed even when I was at the parking garage where they have the parking garage bathrooms, which they closed at a certain time, that they still allow people to park and they charge people to park during hours that the bathrooms are closed. So even the people that are paying for parking don't get to use the restrooms. So there's no restrooms downtown past a certain hour. And they wonder, you know, when they find people defecating or pissing by some building or in some bush, you know, just like a dog, you know, if there's no place to go, they're going to go somewhere.
And we've been talking to
Claudio Martinez.
Thanks, Claudio.
What I've noticed is the, especially the, well, even the sheriffs in the Santa Cruz PD, if you're staying downtown especially, they've been, I haven't seen them say anything. I haven't,
pretty good.
Yeah, well, yeah, they have. I haven't seen any kind of anything anti-homeless or anything. Thus far, since I've been back downtown about a week or two, you know, on a regular basis, and they haven't said anything to me about sleeping or anything.
We've been talking with
rangers and nothing. They've all been cool, you know.
Thank you.
So from what I've seen.
They're throwing frozen water bottles at people now.
And when was it? When and where have you seen this?
On Coral Street.
And how long ago?
Last few days.
You can put that into practice. But what I would like to do, is I would like to make a video, that shows, say, a black man going into a store, a gas station, buying his things, and then coming out, and getting everything situated because he's riding a bike, getting it right, and then within a couple minutes of him getting his stuff situated, have somebody from the store come out and go, excuse me, sir, there's no loitering here, and stuff. And, when he starts...
What store was it?
Any gas station, say Valero, And when he starts to go, look, I'm just trying to get stuff right, and then go, and then have him go, you need to move along, sir. I'll take the macaroni and cheese, and is there anything with meat?
And that's the report as the man gets some food.
Where you could, just for the sleeping, they give you this paper, and you go to court, and
get rid of the ticket.
They would give you another ticket?
Get rid of the ticket.
That's what I'm saying. But I have four now. All sleeping.
They don't have that anymore, as far as I know.
Well, because you know what? I'm never paying. We already know. I already told them this last week. I'm never paying any of it. If I want.
What we're talking about is a procedure they used to have at the Homeless Lack of Services Center, as I call the Coral Street Poverty Pimp Complex, where you used to go in and get a letter from them saying, we have no shelter here on the night in question. Please dismiss the ticket. And Commissioner Kim Basement Level Basket Case Basket would do so, partially to spare herself the potential possibility of a necessity defense, which takes up a lot of time in court, who knows, or maybe just because she's sensible around these issues. But the Homeless Lack of Services Center no longer issues these letters with any regularity or clarity, or at all, as far as I know. That's been the case since Monica Martinez took over in, I've been tracking this that I remember since 2010.
Lottery tomorrow because they say, and I did get that woman. I did get her because it took her about a half, because I couldn't see even with the glasses on. But I said, look, I'm just reading the ticket. My dad said, don't ever sign anything. So I spent a good half hour making her stand there.
Very good. Fighting back against the police through the means you can. You want to say who you are? You want to keep it anonymous?
Just keep it anonymous.
Fair enough.
So people, in their own way, find ways to resist this really unconscionable intrusion on people's privacy, their dignity, their health, their safety even. When you force someone to move or give them a citation, requiring them to go to court and face additional anxiety, additional health burdens, fines they can't pay, journeys they don't have the strength to make, and often in many cases, considering that you have to be trekking around all day to find food, trekking around all day to keep your stuff safe and with somebody else, move along when you're told to do so by some thug in a uniform with an official permission to run people around, and a general consent in this community that that's okay to do. If people responded to police doing this by walking up and blocking that from happening or denouncing it as it happened, you'd see it happen far less frequently, and in fact, that's when you begin to see true revolutionary change in a country, is when a significant minority stands up to the institutional government, which essentially runs through the agency of a relatively small number of enforcers, increasingly well-armed, unfortunately, in our society. But if there are people who say, who are fighting that or are resisting that or refusing to be a part of that, it makes the task of those enforcers all the more difficult. I mean, they like to mythologize it as a form of law and order and a form of protection of the public and to protect and serve and all that stuff. But as we, I think, know increasingly and as we see, that's protecting the property of a few. There's going to be more and more property if Trump's tax reforms pass. I use the word reform whimsically.
Like, discriminated against really bad. He was allowed to use the bathroom, but I wasn't.
Which bathroom? Where?
The gym uptown.
24-hour fitness.
And I called her out on it. The metro bus station, they kicked me off of it waiting for a bus.
When was this?
2 days ago. Cops made us move after we got off Greyhound. We had nowhere to go, and they told us to leave. So,
what's your name if you want to say?
Candace.
And you are?
Travis.
And come to the Huff meeting on Wednesday at 11 o'clock. I'll give you my card.
All right.
What's the update after Thursday?
Climate Action March. I'm sure you'll be there, being a big supporter of the environment as you are.
Never, never.
A big police community forum with Norm Stamper, the guy from the WTO.
This is, of course, Steve Plaich, who's dividing his time and attention between giving me a report about upcoming events and serving bagels, spreading cream cheese and an egg salad on bagels for folks passing through the Red Church food line. It was probably the largest number of people I've ever seen there. The line went all the way around the room. All the way. I've never quite seen that happen.
Here. Enemy when and where?
Resource Center for Nonviolence, 1:30 on Saturday, followed by a movie, I think at the Del Mar, about Do Not Resist, Police Militarization. That's at the, actually, I think it's a Nick.
Yeah. It's the Nickelodeon, and I believe it's in the morning, not in the after, in the evening, unless they're doing a second showing, as I was announcing earlier. Do Not Resist.
And that's Sunday night.
Yeah. Thank you, Steve.
And actually, the forum is on Saturday, and I think the movie is on Sunday from 11 to 1 at the Nickelodeon. So those are on two different days, both about how to reform the police with guest speaker Norman Stamper, former Seattle chief of police and author of Breaking Rank, a top cop's expose of the dark side of American policing, and how to make money by selling books. I'm always very cynical of even people whose books I like when they're engaging in these. Well, I'm not sure if this is a book tour. This could be something concerned with his belief that there needs to be citizens' police review boards, which he'll be talking about 1:30 to 4 at the Resource Center for Nonviolence on Saturday, day after tomorrow.
In here or not, when they wear white shirts and there's not a stain on them. Look at the angels over there.
Referring to the food servers here.
Yeah, there's no way I could.
And your name, Angel Spotter, is?
It's Julie Shaw.
She's got her eye on the angel spotters.
We know angels when we see them. You're an angel.
Would you like some increased?
What's the update here? Any reports on increased shelter now that everything's shut down?
Well, now that everything's shut down, I would not say it's an increased shelter. It seemed like winter out there tonight to me, but we do not have the winter shelter in operation because it closes doors on April 7th and will not reopen until, I guess, it's winter again.
So you, unlike me, you're going to go out to the city hall for the survival sleepers and hunker down with them.
Well, you know, I don't tend to sleep outside at city hall very often.
Neither do I.
No, it's. I think it's technically you wind up talking to the judge if you do that.
Well, if you do it on the sidewalk and freeze your ass, it's still ignored by the police. Think of that.
Well, it's really hard to think about the problem of homelessness because these are real people out there every night. In the rain, in the sun, in the wind, in whatever the weather is, risking their lives, really, because of the ambient weather conditions combined with the danger of sleeping on the street. There are people out there that don't treat people who sleep on the street well, and people get hurt. So when you think about that, and you look at the fact that the community response, not only in this community, but across the United States, is just to kind of turn away from it. We haven't meaningfully solved the problem. There's many good...
Well, what about smart solutions?
There
now,
are
they
many.
Have smart solutions. They're solving the problem. And the 180-180, a brilliant idea.
Well, these are brilliant ideas, and they're helping, but we really need a community...
Yeah.
community-based effort that the government helps
out in. The community. All they need is more money, more people to come in. Hey, let's do some more advertising.
We need a place for people to be, and we don't have that place.
We don't have that place.
Even if you implemented 180-180 and you had enough vouchers to hand to every homeless person out here, there would still not be enough housing for them to stay in. We don't have the housing.
You're so negative, Scott.
Well, no. We can build the housing. We don't have it. That doesn't mean we can't build it.
I always thought that there were some empty buildings around here somewhere, but maybe that's just my imagination.
Well, the utilization of empty space has always been very interesting to me because there's a lot of it. And it can be, some of that could be converted if the zoning was allowed to be amended, you know, to allow shelters.
Maybe if people did it and then they had to amend the zoning. What do you think of that one? We talked about this 3 years ago, and you blew me off.
You're in the protest mode now.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I don't go to the protest mode.
Well, remember, there are people who have to sleep every night, even if you and I don't go to the protest mode. And they do at City Hall.
Yes, that's true, but that's the freedom sleepers who are making.
Not just the freedom sleepers, that's the survival sleepers.
A Gandhian nonviolent statement, really, by.
They're just getting the fuck out of the rain every night, or the cold.
Well, some are, and some are people who have houses but are sleeping with them to show solidarity.
Only on Tuesday nights. Usually everybody else is there on the rest of the week, and that's 10 to 20 people who are not housed.
Yeah, and that's also, there's probably another nearly 3,000 people besides them who aren't housed.
I would say if 2% of those people showed up at City Hall, there would be a reaction by city authorities to create some kind of alternate place. But
keep in mind, it isn't just City Hall. It's a city hall. It's a county. It's a city capital. Scotts Valley, Watsonville.
About the people inside Santa Cruz now.
Right. Well, then there's not 3,000. 3,000 people is a countywide statistic. So that's your.
Well, there's at least 1,000 inside Santa Cruz, in my view. If you count the Poconep and the Green Belt area.
Let me ask you a question. What do you think the result's going to be of the latest point in time survey? Have you heard any inclinations on
it? I am, you know, no.
And as usual, that's Scott Galloway, who works with the Association of Faith Communities, formerly, I think, Executive Director of Transportation at the Metro, who deflects in the way that reminds me of Christopher Crone, the statements I'm making, which is he is a person who doesn't want to get involved with protest. And instead of just saying, I don't want to get involved with protest, I just don't feel like it, or I don't like it, or I don't think it's effective, or something, he will deflect the conversation. And, it can turn to very interesting byways and highways, but it's a deflection. And if you want to stay on topic, you have to keep reminding the person of what the original question was, which has to do with empty buildings, protest, his response, oh, you get taken to jail, oh, the freedom sleepers do that once a week. These are people, some housed people who come down. Instead of addressing the broader issue, which is City Hall is where people are clustering to survive and to protest, who are homeless in the main. That's their response to this situation. And are you just going to ignore them and continue having little discussion groups and comfortable warm quarters and then go home, because that's what most of us are doing, this broadcaster included.
Expert on that, I would leave it to you to give us the final thoughts on that.
Oh, I'll probably have to go to the meeting with you and learn. They keep it pretty under wraps until they do the announcement.
Well, it's a big surprise.
Sometime May, right? Mid-May?
Steve Place might know about that.
Steve Place would know about it. He's really an expert. I would interview him next because he probably does have the answer.
I try, but he's a busy man.
He is a very busy man. He's serving bagels right now to people who are in need of food.
Indeed. Bagels can be quite tasty.
But it's nice to see activists down here actually working in the trenches, serving food in the chair. As well as out on the streets promoting alternative solutions.
Indeed. Food Not Bombs does that a lot.
Well, they do that. Keith McHenry and his guys, they're doing good work too.
We'll be doing that tomorrow night at the Freedom Sleep Out 94.
There you go.
Where I assume you'll be out there slugging away.
Not tomorrow. Tomorrow I have another meeting in the evening.
Ah, well, you know how that is. Meetings do take precedent.
Well, this does. We're looking for smart solutions tomorrow.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. I always call that dumb suggestions. But I guess that's my note.
It's a good movement because, again, it's an education advocacy group, and I think it's going to be a force in finding it's going to be a force in finding an economic solution that will help us provide some housing.
You've been looking at a solution for a number of years. For some reason, you keep looking at here and there and looking everywhere.
This is one of our major goals this year in Smart Solutions is to work on significant funding for the lack of housing to try to find a way of correcting that.
I've heard that one for the last 30 years, actually.
Well, but Smart Solutions hasn't been around for 30 years.
Yeah, the same crowd, though, has, and they call themselves under different names, whether it's Continuum of Care or Smart Solutions or numerous other groups. It's the same thing. Let's talk about housing, and then let's talk some more about housing, and let's do a study about how. That's what they do. Instead of actually doing something to deal with the housing that could be used or force the city to do something, it's this, that's the protest mode. We don't really get into the protest. That's a different thing. I mean, that's against the law. We have that situation. I'm familiar with that because I stay at home, too, mostly.
Well, I think what we should do is just pass out hammers.
If I had a hammer, I would...
pass out hammers and lumbers.
Hammer?
If you find a piece of land and pass out some plywood, some hammers, and some nails, and they'll be out.
The biggest vacant area downtown is this, the very church area, which we're standing on, is one of the biggest open spaces downtown. Maybe we should do that. Yeah, there's a lawn out there. Oh, that's the lawn you used to drive people away from. I remember you. Yes.
That's the same one.
Yeah.
Hey, you gotta remember, grass has rights, too.
And, of course, property rights. And we've been talking with
Scott.
Thank you, Scott.
King with
Candace.
And Travis. Go ahead, Candace.
Okay, from my perspective on the homeless, since I have been homeless for 6 months, we've all been put into one category.
Uh-huh.
When it comes to being homeless, we're either drug dealers, druggies, or
alcoholics, mentally ill,
or just dirtbags,
and dirtbags.
You know, it's humiliating, really, and a lot of people haven't had the choice.
Get out of sight. We don't want to see you around here.
Exactly. You know.
Get a job.
They also think all of them do drugs.
Get a house.
We don't. We don't do anything.
Get a rich family.
I don't want one. I like my life the way it is. You know, like I appreciate everything I have. Unlike the ones who have everything, I'm pretty sure they would never be able to make in the world I have. It's made me a stronger person. I see things different, and I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. What I'm going through right now in life later on will make me a better person.
Make you a better person right now.
Yes, ma'am.
It makes you humble. You appreciate things more. And like I've met homeless people that will give you the shirt off their backs, but you see these rich people who have everything that won't do anything for anybody. And it's sad.
Feed the poor people.
Yep.
Feed the rich.
Exactly. I'd rather live my life right now learning from experiences than live my life in a rich house that everything was handed to me with no appreciation for nothing.
And we've been talking, listening to
Candace.
And of course, Travis, who may be showing up at the Huff meeting on Wednesday. Mirren is a regular, a non-participant of the Huff meeting.
I'm serving food at that time.
Well, come and serve us some food, madam. We're hungry. Too. What are you discriminating against our Huskers?
What time is the meeting?
11 o'clock Wednesday.
Oh, that's when I'm cooking. I don't start serving for 3:30.
We'll have to do without you there.
Cooking a dinner for 100.
Well, that's a nice. The famous ranter, Loudmouth Leith Austin, who's very passionate about a number of things.
The pantry band now. Fuck the pigs.
And you also have some comments about the anti-smoking law on Pacific Avenue.
Yes, I do. Now, I traveled 20 years without food or money. No, I didn't smoke, drink, cuss, or eat meat for 20 years. I'm infamous. Now I've broken down. I'm 67 years old. I'm going to die anyway. Actually, I'm not. I'm going to ascend. But I want to be happy, so I do all these things and more. And I can't get into what I want to because, you know, my porno channel charges money. And
it's a problem.
And I don't have any money to get on and see what I did. So, anyway, smoking, okay? Now, the state ordinance says you can't smoke 20 feet away from a building, okay? And I'll go along with that, okay? That's a state ordinance, you know? It's you know how you tell if you're 20 feet away? Nobody's yelling at you, okay? I like that one. Okay. But we have an outdoor mall here with cars that's put out 1,000 times more pollution than any cigarette ever made. And believe me, they've tried to make them, they've polluted more. 400 chemicals is the normal dose of the worst carcinogens ever. But I smoke American spirits and organic tobacco, and so I want to be able to smoke down the mall.
Okay? I have the constitutional right to smoke anywhere next to a fucking car that's polluting the whole fucking planet and destroying the world.
You think so, but in fact...
So I am going to get arrested for smoking a cigarette in the mall because I refuse to sign the fucking ticket. Okay? I will take it to the Supreme Court if I have to, because those fucking assholes in city council who canceled the free food program, or was the county council, city council could sponsor it if they wanted, we'd be feeding people instead of listening to some asshole pray about shit and then beg for food, and you get here and they don't even have any fucking food for me.
I remember, you got here.
Or you. I didn't get here late. They feed 5 to 6, okay? I got here before 6, 10 till exactly.
Actually, they start at 6.
This is 10 till 7 I got here. They feed 6 to 7. Thank you. I'm ranting and raving here.
Spluttering and sputtering. But nonetheless, what you're saying is understandable and educational, I might add.
I could go on, but I'm not going on. Oh, so what we need to do is put cars in front of the city council, right in front where all those people are. Block the whole fucking sidewalk all day long with people walking by. We go to the fucking mall, okay? And we walk back and forth across the street all day, okay, with our blankets and stuff, and tie up the whole fucking mall, okay? Then live right there. Then, you know, if some of you assholes want to get involved, you park your cars on Pacific Avenue and the fucking people would pay all that rental complaint and they'll end the fucking camping ban before Tuesday because it's all about money, you know? It's not, I make a lot of sense, right? What ain't sense in the USA? It's dollar bills. Show me the dollars. Show me the money. Okay? So you hit them in the fucking pocketbook. You hit them in their beautiful city hall. And you camp there every fucking night, all night long. And you go to jail like I used to do and others who are no longer with us. Thank you.
They came and went.
Well, they died because they were homeless, okay? And what if five people died this winter here in Santa Cruz or somewhere? I live in Hawaii. We're not dying. We're having a lot of fun on the beach.
Another point.
I live on Maui, but it's all good. Anyway, unless you have a question, audience, Robert, I'm done. And the camping ban is all the fuck I have to say. There's no reason it's for his fucking camping ban. As Don Wayne said on the radio yesterday, bullshit, bullshit, I'm lying, but they pay me well to lie.
Of course, that was a broadcast from 2010, but the point you make remains true in 2017. Thank you, Leith, and we've been talking...
Rainbow light.
And, or rainbow light, if you prefer.
Loudmouth Leith.
Indeed. Loudmouth Leith Austin, from the old days.
No, you don't use my last name.
And it's, there you go. Blew it again. Thank you, Leith. Hey. Talking to
James.
James, you've got news.
Yeah, last week I heard that they're going to start deconstructing the Senior Lounge computer lab at Loudoun Nelson Center. And the Senior Lounge has been there for decades. It's fully stocked with 9 PCs, 5 Macintosh workstations. Several volunteers are coming in. A fairly dedicated group of regulars that show up there every day to get on the computer and share Facebook or Snapchat or Instagram. They've got classes for iPods and iPads. And some really sincerely helpful volunteers that come through there. And
that's every day from?
From about 9 o'clock till about 5.
Every weekday?
Every weekday. And it's an oasis. It's the only place you could go read a book in peace and quiet, other than the library, which is infested with homeless people.
For heaven's sake. I never go near them, you know.
Well,
Robert, that bitch gave me a dirty look.
Oh, well, you know how it is. I've never been on the radio.
But anyhow, it's a sad commentary that they're doing away with this one place where seniors can go and get on the Internet. And
now, how do you know this is happening?
Well, they had a contractor in there today. They're going to rip out all the cabinetry that houses all the computer workstations, and I think they're turning it into office space.
But you're not sure about that?
I'm not sure, but it seems like it's just a blatant land grab. They want the space. They literally just want that room. And
space is profit, son.
Well, that's true. That's true, too. It's room number 2, by the way. And
for those who want to know, will it still be usable next week, or is it gone?
I don't know. Next month, they're going to be demolishing it. essentially. And so they'll have offices in there for their people. I'm not sure what...
Well, offices are more important than seniors, you know that.
Well, they've got four offices already.
Well, five? I mean, come on.
Or six.
These
or
seniors are going to die. The offices will go on.
I don't know what their grand plan... There's been no discussion of it at all. There's been no notices on their website. There's been no private or public meetings about it. There's been absolutely no feedback from the community, and I'm trying to alert people to the fact that, hey, they're about to...
It's happening.
Well, it's in the works already. They've got contractors in there already talking about how they're going to demolish it and put up another wall and a doorway here, and, you know, they're going to basically add more office space for the workers at Loudoun Nelson. The seniors are going to get, I guess, shut out. So I'm not real happy about it.
You'll be circulating a petition demanding this stop immediately?
I try to alert everybody. I'm going to go on Facebook and Twitter. I sent you an email. I sent to Steve
Leach
and a few other people. Letters to the editor of Sentinel and a few other places.
Good for you.
I've got media contacts. What can I say?
You're the man. And we've been talking with
James.
Thanks, James.
And James did send out emails. And to her credit, Sandy Brown responded. To her discredit, she responded with something that's fairly empty. Her email back to James was, "James, I'm sorry to hear about this. I was not officially informed before this message. It's not on today's agenda." That was last Tuesday. "But you can certainly bring it up at Oral Communications today." I don't think James got to Oral Communications. He'd done his stint by sending out this email. "We can also discuss it during budget hearings. I will do what..." And by that time, of course, it'll have been a done deal. "I will do what I can to facilitate the discussion. My office hours are Fridays 1 to 3 at City Hall," Sandy Brown writes, "and by appointment. When constituents schedule in advance, I sometimes meet elsewhere on Fridays. Call or email if you want to meet up. Best, Sandy." And I remind you, she has office hours tomorrow at 1 to 3, as she mentions. I may be going to those office hours. I understand a couple of activists are. The thing about this kind of response, and also the response I got from Sandy verbally at the city council right outside during the recess on Tuesday, was initially she was sort of expressed that she was miffed that I was continuing to press her for not keeping her promises to do what we talked about earlier in the show, the emails to staff members she said she was going to write. But I did commend her for this letter, for at least responding to James' letter, but the response is pretty empty, is the problem. I mean, she could say, "I will be contacting Loudoun Nelson to find out about this immediately. I will be asking the people involved in this project whether there is space for seniors somewhere else." Instead, it's this sort of pro forma, you know, template, generic. "We can discuss it at budget hearings. You can come to Oral Communications. My office hours are such and such." I mean, it's all very friendly, but it's all very empty, is the problem. Now, some of this may come from, you know, her inexperience, but you can only plead inexperience for so long until what looks like an experience just simply becomes a bad habit. That's the problem here. Reaching the end of this edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides, a couple of things about no mentions in the paper of interest to me. The headlines for today's paper, Thursday, April 27th, is "Angry Teachers Disrupt Pajaro Valley United School District Board Meeting." And the pictures of folks with signs, teachers with signs demanding... Not quite clear from this article exactly what they're demanding. I think they're demanding better conditions for teachers. One person is quoted as saying, "The fact is we can't afford another hit to our income. I'm a single mother who supports three kids that sleep on the floor of our one-bedroom apartment," said Christy Jude, a third-grade teacher. Teachers are protesting a recent proposal on salary and benefits that would cap the district's contribution to teacher benefits, offer no salary increase for the current year, and cut salaries by 5% in the third year, according to Jack Carroll, chief negotiator for the Pajaro Valley Federation of Teachers. And also, of course, yesterday we had the story about UCSC secreting away funds. But Janet Napoliano, is that her name? Previous, maybe she's the current chancellor, I'm not sure. stashed away. So what you get are these people in high executive positions, not necessarily stashing away money for themselves, but for the projects they want to pursue, keeping them away from the people who do the real work or the people who really need the services, whether it's cutting back metro bus lines or eliminating even the rudimentary prison-like shelters that at least, I suppose, keep you out of the rain and in some cases provide food. It's all very secondary to folks whose main interest is beautifying the riverfront by hiring more rangers to drive away poor people who are littering the area. It's pretty grim shit, actually. And I'm going to go out on a couple of songs. Let me see if I can find anything else to pass on before I do. There was an audit, apparently, that Janet Napoliano, UC Office of the President, tried to frustrate, obscure, by interfering with it, by inappropriately screening the confidential responses of campus administrators to the auditor survey, resulting in some answers being changed or deleted. However, she is looking into whether the university violated any laws or policies on interference under her direction, of course. This is like Chief Vogel investigating himself for the political spying he did against the DIY parade back in 2005-2006. There's an article in the Mercury News from yesterday, which notes that there's a state bill that would have contractors choose between building a border wall between the U.S. and Mexico and doing business with California under a legislative bill. And the reason I mention this is not because I oppose it. I support it. But this may be one of the reasons they're getting the city council in Santa Cruz to trail along, wagging its tail. Not to lead, but to follow, because it now has protective cover from the state. I'm glad that the Santa Cruz City Council is wagging along, but I don't think we should give them the kind of credit that you hear all this wonderful praise for our city council that I was... I didn't listen to it very closely. If I'm exaggerating, I apologize. Doubt that I am. The issue of hate speech with Ann Coulter, Milo Yiannopoulos, David Horowitz up on UCB, which got some pretty passionate folks who say this is allowing these folks to speak is to empowering fascism or allowing fascism. And then Pilks on the other side denouncing those who angrily show up to disrupt these speaking occasions, claiming that they're violating the free speech principles of the free speech movement and the First Amendment and so forth. My concern about the violating the First Amendment in this respect, which is, you know, not lots of speech for the rich and not so much for the poor, is that it can be easily turned against the very activists who are suggesting it shouldn't apply to hate speech, where what they mean by hate speech is speech by rightists, Nazis, Klan members, white supremacists, white nationalists, and so forth. When you allow the barriers to be broken, it can and will be easily turned against them, against us, I should say, because I'm really of that group at some level. And that's a concern. Thanks for being with me on this edition of Bathrop's Piers Broadsides. I'll be back on Sunday at 9:30, with the usual caveat, if I have the steam. I got a lot of stuff that I haven't been able to play today. And some of it's pretty interesting. A lot of it may seem to you repetitive. We're getting, the complaints that come back again and again from poor people on the streets. But the fact of the matter is, these are voices, these are real people, this is what's happening, and I'm going to keep throwing it at you. Talk to you again on Sunday, and you can call me between times at 423-4833.